The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Interesting speech last night from the president. He gave a fiery campaign speech in Phoenix. He said he wasn't going to mention any names, and he didn't. Here's the issue. The left hates Donald Trump. Hates him. More than any other president, it seems, in history, including George W. Bush, including, strangely, Woodrow Wilson. Democrats in office want to impeach him. The media has a hysterical hatred of him, so much so that they often compare him to Hitler and Kim Jong-un. And now he's railing against highly influential Republican senators, making bigger enemies of them as well. The question is, who will work with him on anything? Please, Mr. President, get off the campaign trail and start governing. That's what you need a media source to tell you. Stop with the bickering and start with the healing and the governing. If you don't have a media source that's telling you that, maybe perhaps it's time to find a new media source.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
How is it that we are going down this road? How is it that we are in a civil war, a cold civil war now? I believe it's about to be a hot civil war. How's this happening to us? And on what? On what? The last time we had a civil war, it was over slavery. It was over something really, really important. It wasn't about states' rights, no matter what the Confederates and the Confederate apologists say today. It wasn't over states' rights, and I can prove that to you very easily. And do your own homework. Just look it up yourself. Read the Confederate Constitution. When you read it, if you really loved America, you wouldn't rewrite the Constitution. You would say, we're going to reset towards the Constitution and include the Bill of Rights. None of that was included in the Confederate Constitution. In fact, you didn't have a state right. If you joined the Confederacy, you had to agree with slavery, and you had to agree with the expansion of slavery. That's not about states' rights. That's about slavery. Pure and simple. There it is. Look it up. Read it. Now let's move on. Our last Civil War was about slavery, about ending oppression. Now, what kind of oppression is this that these statues, are we living in a country where it's like night in the museum? Do the statues come alive at night? Come over to your house, right into your bedroom, and oppress you? Do they come down off their pedestal and whisper bad things into your ears and tell you that you're never going to make it because you're black, you're white, you're whatever it is? Or are they just statues? Is it nothing more than a bunch of copper or brass or metal that's just formed into the shape of something that sits alone in the dark and pigeons crap all over it? Is that what is oppressing you? What are we arguing about? And President Trump was out at a fundraiser. He was just elected. Why is he doing a campaign fundraiser now? I have a lot to talk to you about, and I really, really want to talk to you about the insanity of ESPN, where they have now taken off. They took a guy off of play-by-play because his name was Robert Lee. Not Robert E. Lee. In fact, not even named after Robert E. Lee. He's of Asian descent. It's like Lee's Noodle House, not Robert E. Lee. But ESPN doesn't want him on the air because they're afraid that'll add to the controversy. Oh my gosh. Would somebody please look up Dietrich Bonhoeffer on stupidity so I can just read that again? Because that's where we are. I have a lot to say to you today. And a lot of perspective, I think, that you're not going to get anyplace else. And I just want to ask you, a couple of questions first. I really am looking for your answer. I want to know. I want you to call us and tell me these answers. What is it you really believe in anymore? Is there anything that you had a gun to your head that you could say, I know this is true? What is it you believe in anymore? To the core of your being, who are we? What is the American story? Who are we as a people? Why are we here? Do you even know anymore? The things that you're doing, do they back up your belief? Are they strengthening your belief in whatever it is you believe in? Maybe I should go back and start here to give you an example. I know I believe in the Bill of Rights. I know it. I know it with everything in me. You cannot convince me that the Bill of Rights is wrong. Now, it used to be something, we hold these truths to be self-evident, but they're not self-evident anymore. They're not self-evident to most people. Remember, we were a small group of people. Imagine how groundbreaking these self-evident truths were. See, I've always thought, you could wake anybody in the dead of night from a sleep and say, hey, should people be able to have access to your stuff? No. Should you be able to say what you really truly believe without fear of somebody coming and throwing you in jail for your point of view? I thought we would all say, of course, you can say what you want. I thought those things were self-evident, but they're really not. I could go to China right now and I could read the Bill of Rights and they would be so foreign that I don't know if I could convince them that those things were true in a generation. It's what's happening in Afghanistan. We think that we're going to give people freedom. They have to earn freedom. They have to want freedom. They have to understand freedom. They have to understand that with freedom comes profound responsibility. But those things are not self-evident. You have to go searching for those truths. You have to be quiet enough to listen, to ponder, to seek. You have to be well-fed enough to be able to have the time to ponder and to seek. So what is it do you believe? I believe in the Bill of Rights, and I believe that America is here to stop tyranny, even if it's in our own lives. It is a place, it is a nation of sanctuary. It is a place that you can go, whether it's on a raft or a ship or a plane, however you get here, it is a place where you can say sanctuary. And then after you catch your breath, lift yourself up, not other people, lift yourself up and be who you were born to be. America is a place where tyrants do not win. They're routed and they're conquered by a good and decent, fair and just people. It's a place where virtue triumphs over wickedness and basic morality, basic decency is the rule, not the exception. America is a place that is pitched toward the happy ending. I still believe those things. And maybe I'm stupid for believing them, but I still believe them. I still believe that it is my responsibility, my God-given responsibility, to stand up for you no matter how much I disagree with you. It is a moral imperative that I do it. It is a moral imperative that I forgive if I want to be forgiven myself. That I have to forgive, and I also have to find a way to believe the best in others, no matter how many times I've been kicked in the face. I still have to believe the best in others. I still have to believe that people can change, and that people make mistakes, and that everybody's not evil, that they've just gone astray because of something in their life. They weren't born that way. They become that way. So what is it that is happening in their life where they go astray? What is happening to our friends and our neighbors who we have always loved and respected and trusted? We used to trust our neighbors. We don't anymore. Unless you vote, vote. Unless you vote exactly the way I think you should vote, you're worthless, and that's at best. You're an enemy. That has nothing to do with America. At least my version of America. And if that is no longer the version of America, then I'm outdated and I am happy to walk away in the sunset in my own belief. But I will not be a part of going over the cliff anymore. So I ask you, you can call in or just do it yourself, but please do this, please. Make a list of the things that you believe in. It's probably pretty short. And that should tell you something. Wasn't that list longer 5 years ago? Wasn't that list almost endless 15 years ago? Are we turning into nothing more than cynics? Are we turning into everything we despise? Do we have any hope? Once you extinguish hope of a better tomorrow, there is no tomorrow. And once you know what you believe in, that which you gaze upon, you will become. Who are your leaders? Who are your heroes? Who are the ones you're watching? Who are the ones you're cheering for? Are they encouraging you to be better or worse? Are you being encouraged to cheer for something you would never, ever, ever in your wildest dreams have thought of 5 years ago of cheering for? Antifa? You're cheering for Antifa? You're excusing the neo-Nazis? That's not you. That's not us. So what's causing us to do this? Look, I don't know how to do my job. And I don't know. I'm not in this for ratings. And it's been a really hard thing because, A, I have a lot of stations and a lot of employees of those stations that depend on a successful show. I owe them my loyalty, and it's a responsibility of mine to help all of these local stations be successful. And if I believe in something, I need to be successful to be able to have a voice that can be put out there and heard. But I think what's being put out into the system on all sides is poison. And so I guess I plead with you to pause for a second. And let's try to have a conversation about empathy, forgiveness, and what we really want in the future. What do we really want? Because I don't think we're that far away when we get to that question. Jobs, security, a future for our children that's better than this one. Those are the basics. Continue this here in a second. First, our sponsor this half hour is Simply Safe. Simply Safe, their home security system, is really the best. It is the new way to make sure that your home is safe. Everything is changing. Everything is up in the air. Everything is being redesigned. And a few years ago, it started with Simply Safe. In the home security business, I mean, you know, they used to come out and they would sell at your home and you'd chew your own arm off just to get those people to leave your house. And then they would sign you up to a big, long contract and, you know, you're paying $50 a month. That's not the deal with Simply Safe. Now you own the system and you get $100 off, and it's an unbelievable package, and you won't believe the price of this. It's really going to actually piss you off because you, in your past, you've paid for these big systems. You're not going to believe how inexpensive they are. No wiring. This is all Bluetooth enabled. It has everything you need to keep your home safe from intruders. Plus, the round-the-clock monitoring is just $15 a month, and there's no long-term contract. It's protection done right on your terms. Don't miss out on the offer. It ends September 3rd. SimplySafeBeck.com. Right now, you'll save $100 until September 3rd. SimplySafeBeck.com. $100 off. SimplySafeBeck.com.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at GlennBeck.com. Mercury. 888-727-BECK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
We're in a place right now that we have to decide what we still believe in. Bonhoeffer said, "Stupidity is a more dangerous enemy of the good than malice, because you can protest against evil. It can be exposed, and if need be, prevented by use of force. And evil always carries within itself the germ of its own subversion, in that it leaves behind in humans at least a sense of unease. But against stupidity, we're defenseless. Neither protest nor the use of force accomplish anything here. Reason falls on deaf ears. Facts that contradict one's prejudgment simply need not be believed. In such moments, the stupid person even becomes critical. And when facts are irrefutable, they're just pushed aside as inconsequential, as incidental. In all of this, the stupid person, in contrast to the malicious one, is utterly self-satisfied, and being easily irritated becomes dangerous by going on the attack. For that reason, greater caution is called for than with the malicious one. Never again try to persuade the stupid person with reason. It's senseless and it's dangerous. But he goes on. The second part of that quote is equally as important. Coming up.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
I need your help on trying to convince America again of her true nature and trying to convince each other of our true nature. I firmly believe, because I have seen it in my own life, as a man thinketh, he becomes. What your thoughts are become action. I also firmly believe that a man does not rise to the level of his expectation. He rises to the level of his preparation and his knowledge, but emphasis, I think, on preparation. Corrie Ten Boom, who hid Jews in the walls of her home, her and her family, they had prepared years before. They knew who they were clearly, and they knew the difference between right and wrong. And when society started to redefine right and wrong, they refused to move. They knew what was right, what was wrong, and no matter what the consequence was, they refused to move and go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. The same thing could be said for Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Malcolm X, in the beginning, did not know the difference between right and wrong. He saw injustice, and to solve injustice, he didn't want justice, he wanted vengeance. Vengeance does not solve an injustice. Only justice and mercy does that. Martin Luther King, on the other hand, somehow or another knew what was right. And he stood, against his own people. But he was prepared for it. It's why he talked about death so much, I think. He knew what this was going to do. He knew what it meant. The same thing with Abraham Lincoln. He knew that this was not going to be popular. We have a picture at Mercury One in our vaults of Abraham Lincoln, a very rare picture because it is of the second inaugural address, and you see behind Abraham Lincoln on the steps of the Capitol, you see John Wilkes Booth. John Wilkes Booth had just lunged at President Lincoln. President Lincoln had just left the Capitol where he had told his vice president to go home because his vice president was not only drunk, he was saying, yeah, we're going to round up the South. We're going to make them pay. And that was not the message of Abraham Lincoln. That was the popular message. That was the message that was going to make everybody feel good. But Abraham Lincoln gave another message. Let's do the hard work now and heal the wounds of our land. If you look at that picture, not only is John Wilkes Booth leering at him like a vulture looking down on Abraham Lincoln, but you'll see the crowd, they're not really even listening to him. Many of them have their back turned to the president in one of the greatest speeches in all of American history. They're not listening to him. Nobody wanted to hear it. That's the way it goes sometimes. I mean, we're in a pendulum. And for a long time, the truth was self-evident. And people didn't want to hear the lies of communism or white nationalism or black nationalism. They didn't want to hear those lies. They knew those were lies. But now the pendulum has swung so far the other way that people don't want to hear the truth. Bonhoeffer, when he was in prison, if you don't know who Dietrich Bonhoeffer is, you need to read Eric Metaxas' book, Bonhoeffer, but even better, just read his words written in prison. He was arrested by the Nazis and thrown in prison. He was a pacifist who then later became a part of Project Valkyrie because he knew at some point there was no other choice but to kill Hitler. But he was a pacifist. And he was remembered by his executioner 5 days before Adolf Hitler was killed. He was executed. He was remembered by the executioner because he thanked the executioner for his kindness and for doing his job. And the executioner said, I didn't know who he was at the time, but I remembered him because there was such peace about him. In prison, he tried to figure out, where did I go wrong? How did we as a good, decent people go so wrong? He wrote what I shared with you a minute ago about stupidity. Stupidity is a dangerous, dangerous thing because you can't reason with stupid people. But who does he mean by stupid people? Who are the stupid among us? He talks about how it's apparent that every strong upsurge of power in the public sphere, be it of political or religious nature, infects a large part of humankind with a stupidity. It would even seem that this is virtually a psychological, sociological law. The power of the one needs the stupidity of the other. The process at work here is not that the particular human capacity, for instance, the intellect, suddenly atrophies or fails. Instead, it seems that under the overwhelming impact of rising power, humans are deprived of their inner independence and more or less consciously give up establishing an autonomous position toward the emerging circumstance. So in other words, there's something that happens to society when you've been so beaten down and there's a rise of power that you give up your own personal sovereignty. And you just sign on for something that doesn't resemble in the end anything like you. The fact that the stupid person is often stubborn must not blind us to the fact that he is not independent. In conversation with him, one virtually feels that one is dealing not at all with a person, but with slogans and catchwords and the like that have taken possession of him. Tell me how many friends you have that are like that. Tell me how many people you have met in the last 12 years that it's like you're not even having a conversation with anybody. You're having a conversation with a bumper sticker. You're having a conversation with catchphrases and pieces of speeches by somebody. You cannot break through the bumper sticker to get to the actual person. It's as if, he writes, they are under a spell, blinded, misused, and abused in his very being. That is really important, misused and abused in his very being. Having become a mindless tool, this stupid person will also become capable of any evil, at the same time incapable of seeing it as evil. This is where the danger of the diabolical misuse lurks, for it is this that once and for all can destroy human beings. So you become a catchphrase, you become a bumper sticker. Nothing can penetrate that. And as you become more and more a defender of things that just do not make common sense, you become first a defender and then a tool of the diabolical. It's at this very point it becomes quite clear that only an act of liberation, not instruction, can overcome stupidity. Here we must come to the terms with the fact that in most cases, A genuine internal liberation becomes possible only when external liberation has preceded it. Until then, we have to abandon all attempts to convince the stupid person. This state of affairs explains and why such circumstances are attempts to know what the people really think is in vain, and why under these circumstances this question is so irrelevant for the person who is thinking and acting responsibly. The word of the Bible, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, declares that the internal liberation of human beings to live the responsible life before God is the only way to overcome this stupidity. But these thoughts about stupidity also offer consolation in that they utterly forbid us to consider the majority of people to be stupid in every circumstance. It really will depend on whether those in power expect more from the people's stupidity than from their inner independence and wisdom. And that is the point I want you to take and chew on all day. Listen to that. It really will depend on whether those in power expect more from people's stupidity than from their inner independence and wisdom. I ask you, the people you are listening to, the people you are following, the things that you read, are they leading you down the path toward Antifa or toward neo-Nazis? Are they leading you toward more hatred, more anger, more vitriol, more bumper stickers, more slogans? Or are they expecting you to stand up and be better than this? I don't believe it's too late for our country, but the hour grows near. The times are grave. I told you last week that we have now finished the beginning. We were at the end of the beginning, and now we are at the beginning of the middle. And we have another chance, another bite at this apple. But this, I believe, is our last bite, because what we now write in the middle of this story will determine how it ends. And we are just at the beginning of the middle of our story. Do our heroes stand up? Do our heroes say, I will not go over the cliff? I know this hurts my own side, but in the long term, it helps me. It helps my children have a better future. I choose to believe in the better angels of man. I choose to believe there are people on the other side that are just as afraid, are just as hungry, are just as panicked as I am. They just haven't been willing to say it yet because no one wants to stand alone. It's not going to get easier for us to stand up. Man does not rise to the level of his expectations. He rises to the level of his knowledge and his preparedness. Being prepared means you have to take the steps all along the way that are tough. You don't just suddenly become a hero. You have to take all of the baby steps that all of a sudden the hero looks around and goes, why is everybody saying that I'm a hero? I just did what was right every step of the way. If you don't start taking those steps now, and we don't hang on to each other and hang on to the belief that we are better than this, hang on to the belief that tomorrow will be better, hang on to the belief that sanity does return, we don't make it. And unfortunately, that implies that we become part of the problem. I'm going to ask you to take one step with me next hour. and you're not going to like it because I don't like it. But I want you to hear me out at the top of the hour. Sponsor, this half hour that we thank so much for being a part of the program is CarShield. CarShield is an extended coverage, a warranty for your car. A water pump sets you back $500. Do you have that? Do you have, if your air conditioner goes out, do you have the money to repair your air conditioner? That could be $1,500. A new engine, God forbid, is $5,000. Get covered with CarShield, the extended vehicle service protection that you can only get from CarShield. It gets the mechanic paid directly, and you get VIP treatment. 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is in the shop. Save yourself from the high repair bills. CarShield, 1-800-CAR-6100. Promo code Beck. Visit carshield.com. Save 10%. CarShield.com. Promo code Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
More coming up at the top of next hour. Also, we have to talk about a remarkable campaign stop in Arizona yesterday. That, Pat, have you ever seen anything like it before?
No.
I mean, you know, No. We you know, as Pat was telling me off the air yesterday, presidents didn't even used to go to the party conventions because they thought they were offensive.
Yeah, it was inappropriate. And they thought the people would think they wanted the job too badly, and it would look like they're just power hungry.
You don't get those days
back. Yeah, no, we don't. That's for sure.
And now, you're not getting those days
what
back.
What we didn't like that about Barack Obama, we have now embraced and are doing ourselves. Campaign stop yesterday in Phoenix. More coming up.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
Hello, America. There's a couple of stories that are really fascinating. One is in the Washington Post. The road to hate for six young men, Charlottesville, is only the beginning. And it talks about how these guys have fallen in with neo-Nazis. And it's very, very clear and easy to see what's happening. But it is a difficult conversation to actually come at this and try to have a real conversation in more than a 7-second soundbite. And so, for the love of our nation, for the love of each other, for the love of decency, common sense, and our very survival, we're going to try every day to have an actual conversation. I don't know if that's even possible anymore. But we're going to take another step towards it, beginning right now.
Of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
How did the Nazis actually pull this off? How did something so evil become something that so many people and some of the best educated people in the world, how did they fall for that? It is the question that I don't think that we've ever really, truly answered. We have spent, at least me, we've spent our lives watching all these World War II documentaries, and if it's black and white and it's got Nazis in it, guys somehow or another are always flocking to those documentaries. We're fascinated by this, and we're fascinated because it is so clearly evil. And it just swept a nation and almost swept the world. How? How? There's been a lot of surface answers, but the real answer to me is pain and humiliation. The pain and the humiliation that was caused by World War I. And then the indoctrination that happened in the universities, beginning at the turn of the century, long before the Nazis. The devaluing of life and the sanctity of life and the elevation of science to get rid of all of our problems. Science will solve everything. If we can just get rid of the stupid people, if we can just get rid of the handicapped people, excuse the language, but this is the language that they used to use. If we can just get rid of all the retarded people, we're going to be fine. But we don't have time. You want to make the world a better place? We got to get rid of those people. And that quickly turns into, if we would just get rid of all of the greedy people, if we just get rid of all of these bankers, because, you know, the bankers were involved. Let me say this to you. Do you believe the Nazis are good? Okay. I think I didn't even need to pause. I think everybody's like, nope. Do you think, now here's where it's going to start to get complicated for some people. Do you think the Nazis have some good points that they're making? Think about that. Your knee-jerk is no, but how many in the audience are like, well, they are standing against the erasing. Wait a minute. A door is opening. They are standing against the erasing of our heritage. A door has just opened. If I said, Jews, 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 they all must die. They're bad. They're keeping you down. I don't know a soul that's going to believe that. No, no soul's going to believe that. But then let's take it to the next chant that they do. The next chant is, Jews, they run the banks. Okay, I don't know anybody of any intelligence that believes that and is going to say, you know what, that Nazi's making a good point. Jews, they run the banks. And the banks are getting rich off of your back. Now, wait a minute. The door is starting to open a crack because the average person who is suffering will dismiss the Jew part, but begin to see, yeah, well, wait a minute. The banks are getting rich. And the smart Nazi will say, the banks are getting rich. They got a bailout. Did you get a bailout? I didn't get a bailout. They got a bailout. And it's the banks and it's the corporations that are doing it. Now that door is open to anybody who is suffering. And that door is there. And all of a sudden, the guy who didn't say Jews are running the world, didn't say Jews are running all the banks, but that's implied because he's a Nazi, because he has found that one place of connection, and he looks like you. Read the story in the Washington Post. The guys who went down there, they never saw themselves as Nazis, but I know this to be true because I've joined another very unpopular club. I hate to say this, but I am a big supporter of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember the first time I went to an AA meeting, my first thing I said was, I think I'm an alcoholic. And the room laughed. And they said, well, brother, if you think you're an alcoholic, I mean, there's usually a reason for that. You know, people who aren't, you know, having blackouts don't generally think they're an alcoholic. You got some signs. So if you're thinking that way, you most likely are. And I said, well, here's my problem. You guys don't look like alcoholics. And a lady, an old lady with pearls and a sweater set who looked like a grandma and a really respectable, wealthy grandma, not my grandma, a really respected, wealthy grandma, just without even turning around said, oh, honey, we're all drunks in here. all of a sudden, I could accept that I was an alcoholic because they didn't look like I thought alcoholics looked. The Nazis are coming out. And did you hear about the Antifa protester that was beaten up by his own people because he looked like a Nazi? And he's like, I'm not a Nazi, I'm on your side. And they beat him within an inch of his life because he looked like a white supremacist Nazi. Well, when you're coming in, why do you think? Do you know who designed the Nazi uniform? The stormtrooper, the SS, the black uniform? That was Hugo Boss. Hugo Boss, the designer. He's the one who designed those uniforms. Oh, but his suits aren't oppressing you, right? Or should we burn down all Hugo Boss uniforms? Stores. Somehow or another, he gets a pass. They get a pass. Volkswagen gets a pass. Volkswagen, you put the little flower in the little canister there, the little vase by the steering wheel. Volkswagen is a thing of peace and love. Volkswagen, the people's car, the people's wagon. It was a National Socialist designed and commissioned by Adolf Hitler. Oh, but they get a pass. We're not burning Volkswagens down, are we? Why? Because they've changed their image. They no longer have Adolf Hitler going, this is the people's car. They have a little flower by the steering wheel. We're being tricked by image. And people are falling into it for a couple of reasons. One, they are actually hurting. People are going to Antifa and they are excusing. They're not joining. They're excusing Antifa. Even though there are many people on the left who do not believe what Antifa is doing is right. They do not believe that burning the city of Berkeley down to the ground is a good thing. They don't believe any of that. They're actually afraid of Antifa. But they're excusing it because, look at the other side. Look at what they're doing. We got to stop that, right? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. No, the enemy of my enemy may be your friend, but he also may be your enemy. And Antifa is your enemy. Same with Nazis. They are your enemy. You cannot stand with them, no matter how much you want to dismiss the bad parts about them. No matter how much they image themselves just like you, that's not who you are. There was something that happened yesterday that is the cliff of insanity, and I refuse to go no further. And I'm going to ask you to join me on something. But everything in you will say, I'm not going to do that. Everything in you. And you know what? Partially, you will be justified in saying it because you're tired. And you've been convinced you don't make a difference. But I'm going to ask you, don't go over the cliff with the rest of humanity. Take a stand. And I want to share that when we come back. First, Goldline. Stu, can you just give me the stat you gave me off the air here a second ago about housing prices? What's just happened to housing prices?
New housing. It's dropped by 9.4% unexpectedly this month, which is they expected it to, I think, drop slightly, and it dropped 9.4%.
So the new housing sales has dropped almost 10%. That's not a good sign. There are signs everywhere that this thing is coming apart at the seams, and you've got people like Bill Maher on television saying, I hope we hit an economic impact. I hope that Wall Street collapses. I don't, because that's your pension, because that's the teacher's pension, because that's your retirement funds. Those are your 401k. This is not theoretical. This puts people in harm's way. This makes people more hungry. This makes people more disenfranchised. This puts people's back up against the wall because they've lost everything that they had. Would you please do yourself and your family a favor? The whole world is being redesigned right now. And everything is going to slip through our fingers. So you have to find a solid piece of rock to stand on. And I don't know what those rocks are. But you got to look back to the basic fundamental principles. And one of the basic fundamental principles of economics has always been gold. We had the Bitcoin guy on yesterday, and he was saying, it used to be gold. I got news for you. It's still gold. Bitcoin, you know, at least paper is worth the paper that it's printed on. Bitcoin, there isn't even paper. It's nothing. It's really, truly only what people think it is. Gold has been around from the beginning. Please put a portion, a small portion of what you have, spread the risk out. I am truly more worried about this fall than any fall that we have faced since 2008. I think we're in trouble because I think there are people that want it to collapse now because they think that will help hurt Donald Trump or whatever. It is only going to make things worse, much, much worse. Please call Goldline now. For as little as $2,500, you get 3 months of price protection all the way up to a year for a $25,000 investment. You put $25,000 in gold, they guarantee a year from now it will be worth $25,000. You will not lose a penny in this investment. Nobody else is doing that. Find out about their price protection guarantee program. Call 866-GOLDLINE. They're waiting for your call right now. Secure yourself and your family's future. 1-866-GOLDLINE. 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
All right, two stories that show you how crazy we are getting. Antifa protesters marched on Piedmont Park in Atlanta, Georgia. Piedmont Park has monuments there, and they were going to destroy all the Confederate monuments in Piedmont Park. It was only after they vandalized and spray painted a statue that somebody took the time to read underneath the statue that said, "This is a peace monument, encouraging national healing in the wake of the Civil War." This wasn't a Confederate memorial. This was, "Let us heal the wounds of the past." But the mob doesn't care. So maybe we should react to the mob. Maybe we should do everything we can just to appeal to the mob. That's what ESPN did yesterday. ESPN decided to take Robert Lee, not Robert E. Lee, Robert Lee, an Asian descent, Lee, the surname, like, I hate to put it into this category, but I just want to make sure we all understand it's like Lee's Noodle House. It is an Asian name that you would see anywhere. It is, you know, it is an Asian name. It is not an American name like Robert E. Lee, the Confederate. So, what did ESPN do? They decided to get rid of Robert Lee because of the mob. We can't have Robert Lee, you know, do play-by-play for this game because his name is Robert Lee, and that's offensive. To a lot of people, that's offensive. That's offensive? No, what's offensive is me trying to make all Asians into owners of noodle houses. That seems like a crazy thing to say. Because why? They're not. They're not. They're also not all geniuses in math. They're people. To take a name and say, oh my gosh, that's an offensive name on this guy. Talk about judge me by the content of my character. Who is this guy? He has nothing to do with Robert E. Lee. Nothing to do with Robert E. Lee. It's offensive to roll him up, and it's offensive to the American people. It's an offense to us to say, oh, well, we're just so stupid. But then again, I take you back to the memorial that they tried to deface that is a peace memorial, had nothing to do with it. So I want to ask you what my grandfather asked my aunt. And I think I'm just going to ask you this every day, because this is what my aunt did. My aunt married a guy who my grandfather knew was abusive. And make no mistake, guys, we are in abusive relationships. Our media, the GOP, the DNC, all politicians, quite honestly, from Ted Cruz to Donald Trump, in one way or another, all of them have abused us and punched us in the face. All of them have, for their own political power, gain, etc., etc., in their own way. Some much more egregious than others. But on all sides, we are in an abusive relationship, and we just keep coming back for more. So all the way down the aisle, my grandfather said to my aunt, please don't do this, Joanne. Please don't do this. Please. Dad, you are wrecking my wedding. Please. I'm begging you. Let's turn around right now. There's nothing to be lost here. There's no shame in this. Please turn around. Let's walk out now. When she said no, he said, I'll always be here, and I'll always be your dad. You let me know when you're done. And every time she would come home with a black eye and she'd cry on my grandmother's shoulder, my grandfather would rock in the room and he would ask one question, are you done yet? Most of the time she answered, no, Dad, stop it. You don't understand. The rest of the story and how that applies to ESPN next.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So, right or wrong, as we talk about America and where we're at, I believe we are in an abusive relationship. I know. I've seen abusive relationships my whole life. I know what they look like. I know the cause. I know the effect. And the biggest effect is you have been convinced that you are worthless, that you have no power, that you need these people, and those are all lies. All lies. My grandfather walked my aunt down the aisle and said, please don't do this, Joanne. Please don't do this. I know who he is. She said, Dad, stop it. Every time she would have a black eye, she would have a broken bone, she would come over to my house or to my grandfather's house and she would cry on my grandmother's in my grandmother's arms. And my grandfather, who was a very strong, decent, honorable man, would stand there with tears in his eyes and look at his daughter who had just been beaten. And he would say, Joanne, please, have you had enough yet? I will be there, but you must make the choice. And she would always, always say, Dad, stop it. He just had fill in the blank. It was really my fill in the blank. He would say, fine, let me know when you're done. And he'd walk away. He would not listen to it because it did nothing to make things better, would only make him more angry, and he couldn't deal with it. But he was there every single time. Are you done? When she finally didn't run into my grandmother's arms, but she ran into his arms and said, Dad, I am done. That's when he took care of business. And that's when my aunt married my uncle later, because my uncle went with my grandfather to this guy's house and said, "You're moving, you're divorcing, you're moving, and we're never going to have a problem with you again." And guess what? They got a divorce. He moved. We never had a problem. And she found a good and honorable, decent man, my Uncle David. And they've been married ever since. So I'm going to ask you, are you done yet, America? Are you done? Because I am. And specifically when it comes to ESPN, how many times do you have to have ESPN fire somebody because they said chink in the armor? That's not what that phrase means. How many times do they have to slap you across the face and be an affront to everything that you believe and hold dear? That's not why you're going to ESPN. You're going to ESPN because you want coverage of a game. You're watching sports, period. And for some reason or another, they've decided that they're going to set all of the parameters of what's right and wrong. They're going to be the defender of truth. Defender of truth? Chink in the armor? That was the defender of truth? And they've gotten away with it because they're the biggest thing since sliced bread. They know they have you, excuse me, but they have you by the balls, because you won't go anywhere else because you want to watch your damn game. Now, it's easy for me to say this. Pat said, easy for you to say this. You wouldn't give up. Okay, I'll put my money where my mouth is. You're right. Easy for me to say, I don't want anything to do with ESPN. But it is quite different for me, being the biggest Disney fan of all time. Of all time. Who knows Disney inside and out? I will tell you right now, I'm done with ESPN. And the way to finish ESPN is to do what they did to Disney every time they wanted to change anything on the left. They didn't care about ABC. They didn't go to the president of ABC. They went to Disney. And they said, we're boycotting the park. You want to get the mouse's attention? You go after the park. Not ESPN. Have you had enough? And I understand. It means that if you wanted to boycott watching them, okay, all right, that'll be tough because you won't be able to watch the games. I get that. And as a movie watcher, I go to movies all the time because it is my escape. And I know that's the way you most likely feel about the games. All right, then let's make this pact. Do not buy a single Disney product. Do not buy a single ticket to Disneyland. Do not take your children to Disneyland. Do not take your children to Disney World. Swear off the mouse. And be vocal about it. This is dictated by Walt Disney. This is in his original prospectus on what Disneyland is. And Disneyland is a place for parents and children to share pleasant times in one another's company. A place for a teacher and pupils to discover greater ways of understanding and education. Here, the older generation can recapture the nostalgia of days gone by. There's no nostalgia of days gone by. All the days that have happened in the past, they're all evil. Everything you thought you believed in as a child was a lie, according to ESPN. Everything you believe in, unless you believe with what Disney, ABC, ESPN says is true, you're an enemy of the state. You're an enemy of truth. There's no nostalgia there. You conform. And you'll do it because you want to take your kids to Disneyland. You want that moment of happiness. You want what Disney once promised. Here, the older generation can recapture the nostalgia of day gone by, and youngers can savor the generation, savor the challenge of the future. Here will be the wonders of nature and man for all to see and understand. Disneyland will be based upon and dedicated to the ideals, the dreams, and the hard facts that created America. And it will be uniquely equipped to dramatize these dreams and these facts and send them forth as a source of courage and inspiration to all the world. I am sorry. But when ESPN goes so far to take a guy who is, you know what? You know who else has the name Lee? Henry Lee. Oh my gosh, Henry Lee. Oh my gosh, think about this. We got to round up Henry Lee. Yes, he's Asian. His name is Lee, has nothing to do with the Lees of the Confederacy. But Henry repeating rifles, those came out during the Civil War, you know. This guy studies death, what happened in the Civil War, death, and his last name is Lee. Ban Harold Lee. And Henry Lee.
And Herman Lee.
That's insanity. I'm not going over the cliff. Now, you may not be able to stop, but I want us all to recognize. I want us all to recognize. And I understand you want relief. You want relief. You want an escape. And that's what games provide. For me, that's what movies provide. Just an escape. I get it. But the times are calling for this generation to stand up. This is the replacement head of Abraham Lincoln. This, if you watch the great moments with Abraham Lincoln, which you can now only see in Disneyland, in Disney World, it's the Hall of Presidents. Walt Disney had an idea of let's make an audio animatronic man, and he'll be the president, and he will stand, and he will walk, and he will talk. Well, they couldn't make it work. It was at the World's Fair, and they couldn't make it work. And they needed to get everything right, but the head wasn't working. So they made this head to put it on the audio animatronic body so they could light the room. And when they got the audio animatronic head to work, they took this head off and put it in, and then they opened the gates. Disney's not working on anything with Abraham Lincoln now. Because Abraham Lincoln now is also part of the oppression. And by the way, that's on both sides. Abraham Lincoln is not being revered as one of the greatest men of all time on the left. Antifa doesn't like Abraham Lincoln, and neither do the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists and the Confederates, because they say he was big government. They say he was a lie. Abraham Lincoln is in a no-man's zone. I got news for you. I stand with Abraham Lincoln every step of the way. Every minute of every day, I'll stand with Abraham Lincoln. And I think most people that vote for the Democrats and most people who vote for the Republicans and most people who vote for independents and, quite honestly, most people who've never voted will stand with Abraham Lincoln. But if Abraham Lincoln, if he's lost, then we have absolutely no reason to exist. And what was he against? What was he against? He was against tyranny and slavery. But when your last name, Lee, coupled with your first name, Bob or Robert, and your middle name is not E, your initial, when you are Asian descent, you didn't grow up with, oh, well, my family, we're related to Robert E. Lee. They're not. And when Disney has gone from extolling the virtues and the hard facts that made America great and also telling us the hard truths about where we stumbled and where we fell? If Disney can't stand there anymore, then I don't stand with Disney. I'm not a boycott guy. I am a guy who will go no further over this cliff. ESPN has gone over the cliff. How many times do they need to punch you in the face while you're saying, who will stand up for our side? Who will stand up for common sense? What's going to be left of our country with education? Well, okay, I'm not going to because of fill in the blank. I want to go to Disneyland. I want to go to Disney World. I want my kids to have the Mickey Mouse experience. I want to be able to put the movies, the Disney movies on for my kids to watch over and over again. I want that. I want my games. But who will stand up? No one will stand up. No one will if you don't. I'm swearing off all Disney parks. I am swearing off Disney.
Movies?
Movies.
Got some more? Star Wars?
Want to go some more? Pile them on.
Including Star Wars.
Pile it on, Stu. Pat, how about this?
Including Star
Wars. How about
Wars.
This, Pat?
I'm looking instead for the including
you,
Star Wars.
Instead of you sitting mm-hmm. there and trying to push me to the wall, why don't you take one
it.
Step towards reality? Take one step.
Okay.
One.
What?
One. Take one step. Will what? You swear off anything? Will you do anything, or you just keep getting punched in the face
I
by
swear
ESPN?
Off Disney parks as well.
Good for you.
Absolutely.
Good for you. How about, instead of pushing each other to the wall, how about we look for the things that we will do? Is anybody willing to stand up at all? In your own way. I'm not asking you to swear off games, Pat. I'm telling you what I'm going to do. Here's our sponsor this half hour. It's LifeLock. Researcher discovered a bug buried deep in an obscure Wi-Fi chip. Billions of cell phones now vulnerable to exploitation. You haven't updated your smartphone, your operating system? Maybe you should. Maybe you should. Why? Because it's wiping out all security controls built into your mobile phone. This is going to allow your hackers to break in and use and infect devices. Not just yours, other people's devices. LifeLock is there. They will help you. They'll detect a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, U.S.-based identity restoration specialists will work to fix it. Now, nobody can prevent all identity threats or monitor all transactions at all businesses. Right now, get 15% off the first year of your LifeLock membership. LifeLock.com, LifeLock.com, or 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code BECK15, save 15% off your first year. This offer ends the 27th of this month. Terms and conditions do apply. Use the promo code BECK15, LifeLock.com, 1-800-LIFELOCK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
There's a ton to talk about, and tomorrow I really want to hear from you. Tomorrow I think I'm just going to take a bunch of phone calls and talk to you and hear what your thoughts are. And I really want to hear your thoughts next hour on the Donald Trump rally yesterday. I've got to stop saying this. I've never seen anything like it.
It's like every day.
Every day.
Every day.
Every single day. Never seen anything like it.
Inconceivable, would you say?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I don't think that word means what.
Every day.
Every day. Every day. The reaction of the press is inconceivable. The reaction of the president is inconceivable. The reaction of the audience on both sides, the left and the right, inconceivable. I don't think that word means what we think it means anymore. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a second. And your phone call, 888-727-BECK.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
free stuff. I like it. Jeff, are you a fan of free stuff?
Yeah, Jeff. Anytime.
Free stuff is something that I like to chase if I can possibly get my hands on it. And, you know, you're going to book your business travel anyway. You're going to have to go to that, you know, city you don't want to go to for that convention you don't want to attend. Why not make it a little bit enjoyable, you know, for yourself? Upside.com is the company that we use, and they do this for everybody. You go and you book your trip through Upside.com. They're going to give you the best prices anyway. Then, in addition to that, they're going to give you these options like, hey, would you mind leaving 2 hours later? If the answer to that is yes, you can get an even lower rate, save even more money. If the answer is that to no, you can just take their normal low price. But in addition, either option you take, they're going to give you a gift card, and you're going to be able to spend that, you know, on yourself. Free stuff. Upside's the real deal. Real deal. Use promo code Beck, and you're guaranteed to get a $100 Amazon gift card on your package purchase. Promo code Beck. Minimum purchase required. See site for complete details. It's upside.com.
Well, here's what's happening today. Donald Trump gave a fiery, fiery campaign speech last night in Phoenix, where he said he was not going to mention any of the senators. He didn't want to get into that.
They all said, Mr. President, your speech was so good last night. Please, please, Mr. President, don't mention any names. So I won't. I won't. No, I won't vote. One vote away, I will not mention any names. Very presidential, isn't it? Very presidential. And nobody wants me to talk about your other senator, who's weak on borders, weak on crime. So I won't talk about him.
Here's the thing. The president is taking on his own party. He has taken on the media. He has taken on the Democrats. He has taken on pretty much everybody, which leaves him now with an extraordinarily low margin of likes. Only 34% of America now supports Donald Trump. The question is, and this is one that we have to answer, who does he turn to cobble together a coalition to be able to govern? You can't govern like this without, quite honestly, a war or huge economic strife which pulls everybody together. Let's not even go there. We need somebody to get off the campaign trail, and this is the problem that we had with President Obama, and start to actually try to pull people together. How do we do that? How do we help the president govern? How can we help him help us to be able to have a reduction in taxes, to be able to have anything in healthcare that you can actually afford? How can we help him help us in schools that function, in help him help us restore sanity and peace in our streets? How do we do that? We begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. Because we have won. I will beat my drum. I have made my choice. We will overcome. Because we are one.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So last night in Phoenix was a campaign fundraiser. It was, the president has been the president for 7 months, 8 months. And the president has become, and not this president, but the, you know, the last president as well, campaigner in chief. That's it. How did we get here? This is a big change in America. In 1976, a pollster named Pat Caddell sent a private message to Jimmy Carter, and in it he said, essentially, it's my thesis that governing with public approval requires a continuous political campaign. President Carter said, excellent. 4 years later, Sidney Blumenthal gave a name to that theory. He wrote a book called The Permanent Campaign. It's not excellent. It's not excellent. It's what's dividing us. We have to stop campaigning for a while. We have to stick around D.C. and try governing. Both parties need to do this. Maybe if they tried to govern, they could work on fulfilling a campaign promise or two. Our media and you have to call on politicians of all sides and tell them, get back to work. Or find a new job, and this time actually mean it. Find a new job. Because we are going over the cliff, and it is time to stop. It's time to change our behavior, because our behavior is just leading to the same stuff. Here are some of the things that the president said last night in Phoenix.
A lot, obviously, calling out the media.
That was my words. Now,
you know, he's trying to explain what he really said, and he's saying that they didn't give him credit for any of the best words that he used.
I was a good student.
It's about the Nazi thing.
I always hear about the elite. You know, the elite, they're elite. I went to better schools than they did. I was a better student than they were. I live in a bigger, more beautiful apartment, and I live in the White House, too, which is really great.
Stop.
So his point there is I'm more elite than the media is elite? Is that what we get from that?
I don't know, but we are living in a Kendall Jenner kind of world where what you have, the stuff you have, is what, you know, what you are. I want to ask you this, and this is not a takedown of the president. This is just a takedown of us as our society, because we have to take down our society and strip it down and say, what are the good parts? What are the bad parts? And I think this is one of the bad things. And it's not Donald Trump. It's all of our society. Are we going to judge people by the content of the character, or judge by their skin color or their group or how much stuff they have? That's part of the grotesqueness of America. That's not what makes us great. That's part of what makes us grotesque.
I will say, if we're going to speak a little truth here, though, a world full of Kendall Jenners is not the worst eventuality, I can imagine.
Right.
Just pointing that out.
This was kind of a... I am... Let me move on. Here's what else he said.
But the very dishonest media, those people right up there with all the cameras... ABC this morning.
A montage of his media.
I don't watch it much, criticism. But I'm watching in the morning. And they have little George Stephanopoulos talking to Nikki Haley, right?
Little George. And he's
motioning how small he is.
For the most part, all they do is complain. But they don't put on those words. And they don't put on me saying those words. The media can attack me. But where I draw the line is when they attack you, which is what they do.
Holy cow, is that not true? I mean, if he's attacked, he's going after you. But this was a really interesting part of the speech last night, I thought.
By the way, I'm just curious. Do the people in this room like Sheriff Joe?
Take that as a yes. He does eventually make a point here.
People seem to like Sheriff Joe. I think so far.
I think they do. Mm-hmm.
So... was Sheriff Joe convicted for doing his job? That's what...
Yeah. Seemed to be a yes as well.
Mm-hmm. They think so.
He should have had a jury, but you know what?
What?
I'll make a prediction. I think he's going to be just fine, okay?
How does he know that?
He seems to have some inside information.
He's Kreskin. Obviously, he's going to pardon Joe Arpaio. Isn't that what he signaled there?
Definitely what he's saying at the moment.
I'm not sure,
so?
Pat. I'm not sure.
Really?
It wasn't he signaling that we're going to build a wall bigger and more powerful than any wall ever? But did he do that? Didn't he also signal that he was going to repeal Obamacare? But he hasn't done that. I mean,
but he needs help for those things. This he doesn't need any help.
Yeah,
for.
I know. But
you can do this himself today.
I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. I'm just not sure that anybody's words mean anything anymore other than I'm going to give you red meat. Is pardoning Joe Arpaio more critical now, or is it better to have him languish somewhere and hold that out as a carrot to you need me to repair things like that? I mean, I think you hold that in your pocket for as long as you possibly can, and you only play that when you need to.
And maybe that's why he didn't just do it last night. Maybe.
Why spend that card?
I don't know that much about. I haven't followed the.
Well, that means he's still going to do it.
The Sheriff Joe saga. Have you?
If he needs it.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, the Arpaio thing, I've not followed it that closely. I don't know if he actually did anything or not, to be perfectly honest.
So the question here is, is the press, and I think we know the answer to this, is the press making this much worse?
There's no question.
The press is playing right into his hands every single time.
And then he just uses them as the bad guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, then he fights back with the usual punch instead of being the president.
And it just helps him with his base. The question, the second question that has to be asked is, with his numbers, do you have the numbers? And how recent are they? Are they reflective of what's happened in the last week or so with the Nazi?
You're talking about approval ratings?
Yes.
I think they're all after his reaction. The last five polls, and they haven't been particularly strong. I'll give you
but not dramatically lower.
Rasmussen's at 41. YouGov 39% approval. Gallup has him at 35. PPP has him at 40. Ipsos at 36, so and American Research Group at 33.
So these are actually up from where he was.
No, I wouldn't say
some
that
of them
is.
Aren't. Some of them are down.
He is.
Wasn't he at like generally 35, 36? Last I saw.
No, I mean his lowest average approval rating was 36.9%, and it is currently 37%. Although
that's
a week
the
ago,
average.
Yeah, a week ago he was at 37.8, so he's down about a point on average. I mean, this has not killed him. It has not helped him, certainly. But it has not killed him.
So where is he going to get support?
I don't know. I think that what they're, you know, if you care about the polls, what they're showing is that he's got about 20% strong approval and about 50% strong disapproval. And while his approval rating, I mean, 37.8 is not good. But, you know, you figure, okay, he can get some people back there, you know. But when the people who are strong approval or strong disapproval don't tend to move that often. They stay where they are. They stay on their sides. They might lighten their disapproval. They might lighten their approval, but they generally stay on their own side. You're playing for the people who aren't in the strong categories. If it's 20% versus 50%, it's tough to bring that back because the 50%, generally speaking, is going to stay on the disapproval side. That being said, you know, when you look at elections, he's not running against anyone right now. And at some point, the Democrats are going to put up a terrible candidate, and he's going to be against that terrible candidate, and it will become a one versus one thing. And people may very well say, like they did last time, you know, Hillary is bad enough that we'll take him.
Doesn't it? It looks like Terry McAuliffe might be considering running for president.
I mean,
against Trump. Terry McAuliffe? Is that the best you guys can do?
Who are you going to put up against this chainsaw? I mean, this
I can't think of anybody.
I don't, other than no one.
Other than Gore, who may have a shot. And Richard Gebhardt.
Again, remember.
Right,
Richard Gebhardt. Dick Gebhardt would obviously be a heavy favorite. I mean, right? We know that. Right. But I mean, let's not put the, you know, the Donald Trump electorally. I mean, remember, Donald Trump lost the popular vote. There was about 50,000 people that if they had changed their vote, he would have lost the election and the Electoral College. That doesn't mean he did. It had nothing to do with Russia. It doesn't mean he's not the president. It doesn't mean he's a bad guy. It's all that's all that stuff is. But I mean, he's not an electoral juggernaut here. I mean,
saying is you're for Hillary Clinton.
No, that's she's not even running.
Absolutely what he said.
Somebody's typing that on Twitter right now.
Saying that. There's a Glenn Beck program in Stu once again.
Hillary supporter.
He very well could lose the election, but he's got so much time. It's not even, there's no point in even talking about
it.
I mean, honestly, the more at risk right now is the 2018 House. And if he's this unpopular when the 2018, because the Senate is so tilted towards Republicans in 2018, it's hard to imagine them blowing that, though it's possible. But the House could go away very easily. If he stays around these numbers, the House will go away and he'll get nothing passed. That is part of the reason why a lot of people who are on the Republican side that are fans of Trump are saying, look, we get it. We don't like a lot of the Republican establishment either. But when you're attacking them like this, we're not going to get anything done.
And then
if they become so, like, you know, Mitch McConnell's approval rating in Kentucky is 18% right now.
But there are those people, for instance, Bannon, who do believe. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, are decent Americans that I've heard say, you know, burn it down to the ground. I mean, you're looking at people, and they don't just exist on the right. You look at the left, look at Bill Maher when he came out and said, I hope that the Wall Street falls apart. I hope there's a giant meltdown on Wall Street. Who's hoping for that? Who's hoping for that? I mean, so there are people now that think this thing is so far gone that there's no fixing it. I happen to be kind of one of them, but I am not rooting for the burning it down to the ground. And I think Donald Trump is has enough people around him that he does respect that have that Steve Bannon burn it down. And he doesn't mind if they all go away, if the Republicans go away.
I don't think he minds that at all.
I don't think so either.
I think he feels like he is a little bit like, you know, Obama did, that his personality will be able to sway whoever, whether that's Democrats or Republicans, whoever it is.
And you can hear the joy in him. That's what he loves out of
he
this
loves
job.
This.
He loves that this. Event. Yeah. That's what he loves out of this job.
Okay, let me tell you about American financing. A new stat came out today. New housing sales have gone down 9.7% month to month, Stu? Can't be month to month.
Is that month to month? I want to say it's year to year, but I don't have the stat up in front of me.
That's just astounding if it's month to month. But a 10% fall in new house sales, that's pretty remarkable. If you're even thinking about selling your house, I urge you to do it right now. Please do it right now.
You're not giving financial advice here.
No, I'm not, because I'm always wrong on financial advice. But I am telling you the direction that the world is heading in. And it's not a fun place to be. If you're thinking about selling your house and you want it sold on time for the most money and an easy experience, would you please consider doing business with American Financing? If you're going to buy a house, if you're going to sell and then buy a new house, if you are looking at trying to reduce the monthly mortgage payment, please go to American Financing. American Financing is going to give you a straightforward and effortless mortgage experience. They also now do reverse mortgages. If you have an adjustable mortgage, please get that thing locked in. You're not going to get lower mortgage rates than you have right now. Lock your adjustable in. Go to American Financing, AmericanFinancing.net. They work for you, not the banks. 1-800-906-2440, 800-906-2440, AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
The Glenn Beck Program.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
We are one. The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. Listen to this stat on housing. This stat just came out. Listen to this.
New U.S. single-family home sales unexpectedly fell in July, dropping to their lowest in 7 months, which could raise concerns of a slowdown in the housing market recovery. Commerce Department said on Wednesday, new home sales tumbled 9.4%. This confounded economists' expectations for a 0.3% gain. So they thought it was going to go up 0.3% and it went down 9.4%.
Wow.
Which, of course, you know, the
that's in a month.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think, let me see, I have the chart down here. No, 9.4% is going to be year to year.
Year to year.
Now, of course, the data point they didn't have at the time was to know that I was going to buy a house. So if they knew I was purchasing a house in that month, they would have known the housing market was about to collapse. But since they didn't know that, this is why you listen to this show.
So if you just do the opposite of whatever we tell you to do, America would be fixed and you would be fat and sassy. I'm just saying. Back in a minute.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. I want to talk to you about two things. First of all, new technology on mice. And let me tell you the good side of this. We've just been able to hack the brain of mice, and we're able to control their bodies by hacking their brains. Explain.
They called it minimally invasive surgery, where they plant nodes, little electrodes or whatever, into certain portions of the brain, and then they remotely control the movement of the mouse.
Excellent.
What they say is, through that, they could bypass mood disorders on humans. They could maybe stimulate limbs of paralyzed people. There's a lot of different great applications for this. But on the other hand, you could probably imagine some things that'd be a little more sinister.
Like what?
We're going to have mice get more than cheese?
That's what I was worried about, yes.
Right.
Exactly what I was worried about.
I mean, they're going to control all the mice.
If you can make a mouse dance, that's all we'll be seeing on YouTube. That's all you'll be seeing. And I'm very concerned about that. Very concerned.
That's funny, because I thought you were going to jump to people and making people move and do nefarious things.
I'm not really bothered by that at all.
The dancing mice on YouTube would be the thing that is probably more likely. Okay. The reason I want to bring this up is there is something wrong, and I want to give you the facts and separate them entirely from conjecture. Okay, we have been talking about this week, the USS John McCain colliding with the oil tanker that's three times the size of the John McCain. It tore a 600-foot hole in the hull. It flooded the ship's machine and communication rooms and some of the sleeping quarters. Some of the remains of the bodies have been found by divers inside the ship. And it's now docked at the naval base in Singapore. And the Malaysian Navy is helping search for the bodies. Okay. So what has caused this collision? We don't know yet. It's being blamed on the fact that this is a very congested place. 80,000 ships per year pass through this one area. It is the world's busiest shipping lane. Okay. And I understand that. And I understand ships are hard to turn, et cetera, et cetera. However, they're really, really big, and they are controlled, and most of them are controlled by computer mapping. And it's just, quite honestly, like planes. The busiest airports in the world don't have four gigantic airliners running into each other in airports. Do we? We don't have them ramming each other on the tarmac. We don't have them running into each other. We have near misses, but we don't have that. And 80,000 ships per year passing through the area. How many planes are passing over New York? How many planes are being landed at all of the airports all around the world that are landing those planes anywhere from every 90 seconds to 2.5 minutes? Landing them, lining them up, landing them one right after another. And we don't have one landing on top of another. We don't have one landing while another is still at the end of the runway, coming off, hasn't turned off yet. Somehow or another, we have that down. Now, we're not talking about little fishing vessels. I could see running into a little fishing vessel, maybe. These are cargo ships. The cargo ship that ran into the John McCain is much larger than the John McCain. It's an enormous ship. This isn't the only one. This is four in the last year. Four.
When think about, have you ever heard of this happening with naval ships in your lifetime? I don't remember it. Maybe it has happened. It has.
I mean, you know,
is it more regular than I think it is?
I mean, I think definitely it's more regular.
How many? Do we have any number on that? I'd like to know.
Like I'm looking at a couple.
How many U.S. Navy ships have massive collisions where people have died?
Right. I mean, I'm looking at a couple of different articles. You know, there's one by ABC that came out earlier this year talking about how U.S. military accidents are common. Obviously, they talk about a lot of the air accidents, and we hear about those fairly often.
Sure. I accept that, you know, look, plane crashes are part of the deal. I mean, you know, you're moving men like crazy all over the world, and you're moving them quickly. You're going to have crashes. But a cargo ship, four of them. I mean, remember the Exxon Valdez, that was because the guy was drunk. These, you know, you have several people on board in line with the captain. He's not doing it by himself. And they're run by computers, generally speaking. Now everything's plotted just like they are in the sky. There is, you know, an air traffic controller, generally speaking, at least for the Navy, there is somebody that is coordinating your path.
And you could see an oil tanker from a long ways away, right?
Of course.
And you would think one of the two would make a course adjustment and get out of the way. You would think.
Okay. So the facts are, in 2 months, we have had now 17 sailors die. Two separate ships. Two separate incidents. Now, they're both in the 7th Fleet. The head of the 7th Fleet has been removed from that command, and perhaps it is his fault. But perhaps, and this is where we move into conjecture, because I think there might be something else going on here. There may not be. But we need to be aware of this because this changes every dynamic you can count on. If you look at the USS Fitzgerald that collided with a cargo ship, killed seven. Now, this is off the coast of Japan. I, for one, don't believe in coincidence. You know, sometimes it happens, but generally speaking, when there's a pattern and it starts to happen outside of the norms, you begin to wonder, is there something else going on? Both the USS Fitzgerald and the John McCain were part of the 7th Fleet. Is there a connection beside just being in a very busy territory? If you look at the path of the cargo ship that hit the USS Fitzgerald, I want to explain this, and if you happen to be watching the show, you can see it up on the chalkboard, but I want you to really try to picture this in your mind. If you're looking at off the coast of Japan, you're looking at this shipping lane, You've got the cargo ship and the U.S. Navy traveling in the same direction, and they're quite a ways apart from each other. Remember, it's congested, so, you know, but it's far enough apart where they're each in their own lane. If you look at what happened, we are expected to believe that, okay, it was close, and, you know, they just ran into each other because it's really, really close. But that's not what the course of the Fitzgerald shows you. If you chart the course of the Fitzgerald, it is on a course that does not collide with the Fitzgerald. And if you look at it, what happens is it's going down its lane straight, and then all of a sudden it starts to weave and bob back and forth, almost like it's drunk. And it starts to weave. Then it makes almost a 180 and comes around and steams directly for the Fitzgerald. It hits the Fitzgerald and then weaves again like a drunken sailor, and then comes down and course corrects and comes right back onto the lane that it was on originally. Now, there are some, in fact, I want to read this exactly. This is from the Navy. Navy officials are considering the possibility of sabotage. I have heard of reports of cyber attack. We have seen no indications of that as of yet, but we are not taking any considerations off the table. This is the commander of the U.S. Pacific Fleet, Admiral Scott Swift. He said, as according to the Fitzgerald or the John McCain, I think is the one he was talking about yesterday, there is no sign of failure in the ship's steering system or of a cyber attack. There is the possibility, remember, the next war is going to be fought with digits, and ones and zeros. It's not going to be fought in the conventional way. Nobody wants to show what they can do with cyber attacks yet, but everyone is preparing. China is preparing, even North Korea is preparing, the United States is preparing. Look something up called Project Dark Skies. This is something the United States is doing right now. They're running tests on our power grid called Project Dark Skies, and they are looking at what happens if somebody knocks out our power grid. Our government is preparing for cyber attacks. There is the possibility, I want you to know, I don't know what the probability is yet, but there is the possibility that these ships, in this case, the cargo ship was hacked into, and the cargo ship, because it's running on computer, if you can hack in and lock people out, it can change the course of those cargo ships and start heading towards a U.S. Navy ship and knock it out. The people that would be most likely to have this technology, Russia and China. The Israelis have said that they have seen this in action on 20 different ships in the Baltic region. The Israelis have been up on this and are trying to defend against it and trying to figure out who's got what. I'm assuming that we do too. You're most likely not going to hear a theory like this until we know it's true. But you may not even hear that after. If we know it's true, we may have to say, shut the pie hole and tell China or whoever might be responsible, we know you're responsible, knock it off, because this is clearly an act of war, if indeed this is happening. The Blaze, Brennan Morse has a great article out on this from, I think, yesterday, but you can see it. We talked about it with him last night on the show at 5 o'clock. You need to be aware, and we are continuing an investigation on this ourselves, talking to experts. Is there the possibility? To me, that makes more sense than anything else I've heard, that we've lost 17 sailors in 2 months on two different incidents because what? The commander of the ship was what? not paying attention in a busy, we've done that for 200 years. They know, or they wouldn't be commanding a ship. One, okay. Two, makes me uncomfortable. Four, I don't think it's something else is going on. Our sponsor this half hour is My Patriot Supply. Yesterday, Treasury Department placed sanctions on the Chinese and Russian individuals and the firms that conducted business with North Korea. Let me say that again. Yesterday, Treasury Department placed sanctions on Chinese and Russian individuals and firms that are conducting business with North Korea. We've just upped the sanctions. Now, the same time, Justice Department filed two legal complaints seeking the forfeiture of $11 million from two of the sanctioned companies believed to have been laundering money on behalf of North Korea. These are two of the largest seizures of North Korean funds. Now we have gone after people in China, people in Russia. We have every right to do it. But we're also seizing the funds, the money laundering that is going on. How is North Korea going to react? How is China going to react? How is Russia going to react? Please do yourself a favor. Pay attention to the world. And then figure out how to reduce the chaos. Stress in your life does not lead to good things. Worrying about things. There are so many things that are happening in the world you're going to worry about, you can do nothing about. But instability, you can with My Patriot Supply. Right now, get their 102-serving survival food kit for only $99. Healthy food lasts up to 25 years, less than a dollar per serving. You get breakfast, lunch, dinner, ship free to your home for $99. Call 1-800-200-7163 or order online at preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com, 800-200-7163.
Glenn Beck Program.
888-727-BACK.
Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Tomorrow, I really want to spend some time hearing from you. I haven't done this in a couple of weeks, and I just want to hear from you. And I want to ask you the question that I asked you at the beginning of the show. What is it you actually believe in? What is it that you know to be true? What is it that still is unshakable? You know, years ago, I told you that everything you think will be solid will be liquid and vice versa. Well, what is left? What is it that you know to be true? We need a foundation. We need a rock that we can anchor things to. And I want to know, in your life, what do you know to be true? And we'll begin there tomorrow on radio. Join us.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.